Redemption for Rashford and time to transfer in Tony? We discuss budget bargains as we plan for life without Liverpool. It's Thursday again. Welcome back to the FPL pod. Hopefully, we have all now had time to digest game week 6, in which I beat Jules in a head-to-head that we are in. I'm getting that in early. Jules, any response there, or are you just going to admit that the
well done?
No,
well done. You know, I'm a bad loser, but really, to be fair, well done to you. And I have to reveal, because you're celebrating now, on Saturday night, you were not so confident, and Marcus Rashford really saved you big time, because you were like, oh, Jules, you're beating me. And then this miracle happened that Marcus Rashford had a good game. I really wished you had sold him, but me and Sam encouraged you to keep him. So it's a bit.
But you did try and sell him, didn't you, Kelly? You did try and sell Marcus Rashford.
To all the listeners listening, I am, as always, joined by Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield. And yes, I did try and sell Marcus Rashford right on the deadline at 11 a.m.
Oh, you're so
and train signals stopped the transfer going through. And it's the best non-transfer that I ever made. Anyway, enough about all of us. The main thing is I beat Jules in that head-to-head. Yeah. We're also joined. He's probably wondering what on earth he's joined right now. We are joined by the former Premier League and England striker, Dean Ashton. Dean, good to have you back. You're just sitting there smirking as you listen to us descend into chaos.
I hope you had a good wash after that, because that was, honestly, the fact that you were going to get rid of Rashford. I did have a little swear under my breath on Sunday evening.
There were so many people, because I tweeted it, so many people were then messaging me on Sunday night, because I kind of tweeted again going, never wanted Pascal Gross and whoever else I was trying to bring in. I can't even remember who I was trying to bring in now. Never wanted them anyway. Always loved Marcus Rashford.
So bad.
But yeah, it's better to be a lucky FPL manager rather than a good one. It helps if you can be both, but it all takes a bit of luck as well. Dean, tell us though, how has your season gone so far? We know you're an FPL obsessive.
I am, and I've taken it to sort of probably different levels than I ever have before. Normally, it would have just been, you know, I'm listening to the odd pod, I'm looking at bits and bobs, but actually, I'm properly obsessed. So I haven't missed a pod, you know, every single one right after the game weeks the next day, and then your one, obviously, before the next game week. I'm looking at every stat, but the problem with that is I'm then jumping around all the time as to exactly which one, which stat or which bit of information or which one of the experts do I go with. And it just feels like I'm late to every single party. You know, I turn up and the door's locked and there's no music. I'm just like, and it's just really frustrating. But I've been really patient. I've not burnt any points yet. And I think that is definitely a positive in the right direction for me anyway, because normally I would have burnt a lot of points by now.
I'm just taking a little look at your team then, just to see who you've got. So you've got Sanchez in goal, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo, Webster, Gundogan, Diaz, Elliot, Odegaard, Kane, Haaland and Mitrovic. That is a strong squad. Sam, how do you rate Dean's, well, that's his starting 11, his bench is Andreas, Cucurella and Saliba.
And that's a nice bench as well,
bench,
though, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, yeah, that bench is a bench that most FPL managers would want to play most weeks. So, I mean, I think the interesting thing there is no Salah. So, of course, that is the moment that we're all kind of leading ourselves into, isn't it? And we're all talking about it through the community. And right now, having that front three of Haaland, of Kane and Mitrovic or Tony, depending upon which way you want to go, that seems to be where it is with FPL right now. And this is something that is so unfamiliar to us as managers, because we never go heavy up top. It's always big at the back, big in midfield with the likes of KDB and Salah and Son. This year, no, it's all about the premiums up top. It's all about spending the budget there. So Dean, I think actually you're ahead of the curve right now. Just stay there, because everyone else is aiming to get to that point.
Look at that, Dean. Everyone's following you. You're the trendsetter.
You're the leader.
I guess so. And going away from Salah was a difficult decision. But obviously with what happened in the 9-0 made it quite easy, to be honest. That was just, I don't think I can ever do that ever again. Go through that and watch the game and see him not be involved in a 9-0 when you've got him captain, when then Haaland's putting in a hat-trick. So I made the decision after that. And also, the way I looked at Liverpool, I just thought he looked a different player. It's like he wants to be a playmaker all of a sudden. I don't know whether that's, you know, the new signings, whether that's something he's just brought into his game, but he looks like he plays a lot wider. He looks like he's trying to be more creative, which has definitely surprised me this season. And that was another reason why I looked to move on. And that's probably why my squad looked to me a bit more depth, because selling Salah all of a sudden brings in what feels like a lot more budget.
Yeah, it does enable you to spread it around a little bit, doesn't it? And that's something I'm looking at. We'll talk about Liverpool in a little bit more detail shortly, because at the moment they are, given what happened in the Champions League as well this week, they are a hot topic in terms of what we do with their players. But Sam, Jules, other than Jules losing to me, how was your game week six? How did things go? You already said it wasn't your best week, Jules.
No, it wasn't good. 44 points. I mean, everything really went wrong. You know, that kind of weekend where Forest... a 2-0 up at halftime and they're looking good and you think, okay, I've got Henderson in goal and Nico Williams at the back and he got the pen as well. So you're like, it's looking good. And then somehow they're terrible in the second half and you don't really understand why. And then it goes on like pretty much everybody apart from Kane and Haaland, who are captain. And like I said, I will captain until I think he stops playing football, to be honest. So I'm going to make changes. I rolled on my transfer. So I've got two free transfers for this game week, and I think it's time for me to let go Trent and Mo, because I don't believe in them anymore. I'm sorry, boys.
Ooh, I know. When the belief's gone, there's no hope. Exactly. Sam, what about you? Are you pondering over similar dilemmas? Because I think it was a pretty low scoring game week overall, wasn't it, really?
Oh, I had a terrible week. And if you remember back to last week's pod, Kelly, I sat here and I was like, I really want to bring in Kane. I want to be able to captain him when I sit in the stands at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against Fulham. And the panic was real about selling Salah. I've got to be honest, and I kind of dwelled on it too much. And when you get to that point where you're like, can I physically sell the player that in the last five seasons has been top point scorer three times? Because they've had a couple of bad fixtures and he's got a great record against Everton. Oh, surely he's going to come good. So I talked myself out of that transfer, didn't do it, and I absolutely should have done it. So now I'm kind of back in that quandary again. And having seen what happened in the Champions League, I think there's some big changes to come over the next week or two anyway with our FPL teams. But yeah, bad week, but not necessarily terrible, if you know what I mean. It was a good week to have a bad week. So if you've not performed really well last week, well, that's kind of reflective of what the FPL community did last time around. So don't feel too bad about it. Stick loyal to the players that have been performing for you. Accept that sometimes these game weeks happen and prepare for game week 7.
The average score, Sam, was 45. That's very low, isn't it?
Yeah, really low. So, and that happens sometimes when you have your bigger assets not performing. So even when we look at Haaland and Kane, they didn't do the big numbers that we are used to seeing from them over the last couple of weeks. You know, Haaland didn't get a hat trick this time around, just the one goal for him. So as his score's lower, Salah was highly captained. Obviously, he didn't return. Trent didn't keep the clean sheet because he went off on 58 minutes. So when you have these big players in the game who don't return, it's dragging down that average massively. And even when you look across at teams like Brighton, who players are heavily invested in, it wasn't really Gross that was performing well in that game. It was Trossard and McAllister. So the FPL assets that we're all highly involved with, they just didn't return heavy points, and that drags that average right down. So I would expect to see the average go back up again this week, given the fixtures that we've got coming up.
Yeah, it's all about the differentials. They can help you go up the rankings, just like Marcus Rashford did for me. Another player that did really well last week, though, Ivan Toney. We spoke about him a few weeks ago. Nader Manua said that he was going to bring him in on his wild card, and even tweeted, didn't he, Ivan Toney, saying, all you managers that got rid of me, because he probably realised he was being sold. But a hat trick, Dean, as a former striker, Ivan Toney, is he someone, I know you've got Mitrovic, but is he someone you're looking at getting in? Do you love watching him play?
Yeah, as a former burly centre forward, I enjoy watching the physicality that he brings, the way he leads the line, links with Mbeumo, and he scores goals, and his penalty record is just ridiculous as well. But I had that quandary between Mitrovic and Toney. And to be honest, I think over the season, I think those two will be very, very close in terms of goals and goal contributions. So I just wanted that extra little bit of money that going with Mitrovic has, basically. Obviously, it's painful to watch Toney then get a hat trick, but I feel like if I persevere with Mitrovic, he'll return that favour when he maybe plays teams that aren't as strong as the ones that Fulham are playing at the moment. But I just think those two players in particular are catching the eye so much. They, even though they're not the premium assets, I think they're the two players at the moment that people will be looking to try and get in into their teams. And obviously I made that transition earlier because I didn't have as much faith in Jesus as probably a lot of people. And I think a lot of people would be doing the same.
Where are we sitting at the moment for the third striker's position? If you're having three forwards, it's Tony versus Mitrovic, or is it, as Dean said, you kind of have to have one and then you ride the highs and lows and know that if one of them doesn't score this week, they're probably going to score next week?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they're pretty close, not in terms of style, but they will probably be quite close in terms of numbers in goals, but also numbers in points for the game. So I don't think it matters too much. I think maybe if you have those free transfers and you look at the fixtures and there's blocks of fixtures where you feel, okay, Tony's going to do better now in the next four, and then maybe Mitrovic will have the next four that look certainly on paper maybe better for him, and then maybe you swap one for another. Again, if you've got enough budget and that kind of stuff, it could be very interesting and pretty good to be able to do that. But apart from that, you pick who you think will do the best. If Dean, I think, made a really good point in terms of the money. Yeah, you can save a bit more if you go for Mitrovic than if you go for Tony. But I think overall, it will level up and they will finish pretty much at the same level.
Yeah, well, at the moment, Ivan Tony is on 45 points. Mitrovic is on 39 points. Tony, as Dean mentioned, 7.2 million. Mitrovic's price has risen up to 6.8. And Tony's owned by nearly 20% of managers. Mitrovic, just over 25% of managers. So it does feel like, Sam, doesn't it? Everyone's just picking one of those two and going with them. And you can't really, you could go between them, couldn't you? Or is that a bit of a weird tactic because of price rises and things?
You absolutely can go between them. And I think what Jules said is right. You could look at the fixture list and you could say, right, well, Mitrovic has got the better fixtures for the next four, so I'm going to go with him for now. And then in four game weeks' time, I'm going to swap over to Tony. The one word of caution I'd say with that is that often, as we saw with Mitrovic against Spurs, he can return against the bigger clubs because he's physically a talent up top. He makes chances out of absolutely nothing. He collected the ball against Spurs at the weekend, came out of nothing really, that goal that he scored. And it was an absolutely quality goal. So you do risk missing out on those points returns against the bigger clubs if you try and avoid the fixtures between them. And I do think that with the way that Mitrovic is, he's quite a selfish player in so many ways. And that's what we love in FPL, is that he will just turn and create something for himself out of nothing. He's not so reliant on the rest of his team. Whereas I think when I watch Tony and Brentford, they're much more of a unit of kind of attacking football together. And he's kind of reliant on the players around him to create chances. As we saw at the back end of last season when Eriksen joined, he was so much better then. So it's a tough one, but for me, the budget saving, as well as just the way that Mitrovic is right now and the confidence of the man to just say, right, it's just an opportunity, I'm going to take it, means that I would just plump for him right now and sit on him for the at least until the unlimited transfer window.
During the World Cup, those unlimited transfers coming in. So remember, plan wisely when it comes to your wild card, and we'll talk about those in a little bit as well. If we're going to talk about the budget enablers who return well for us, we've already mentioned Marcus Rashford. Dean, I'm kind of almost doing a survey week on week with our other guests asking, is now the time for me to sell Marcus Rashford? Or actually, with the fixtures Manchester United have got, given the fact that he got 18 points last week, would you say to me and fellow Rashford owners, you can keep hold of him now?
You can keep hold of him. And he was in my team before the final whistle in the game against Arsenal. I'd already made a transfer. It's the first time actually that I've made the transfer because I was so worried that the price rise would come in, and I've missed out again. I've missed the boat with it. I like to wait actually and listen to the pods, look at all this, and then make my decision the night before. But you obviously then, by the time you do that, the price rises have come in and you then, hang on, I now can't make that change. So I went nice and early, and ultimately, how can you ignore a midfielder that's playing as a forward in a team now that looks full of confidence and looks like it's going to score goals, and he looks confident, and the way he took his goals as well, which I'm looking at how he's taking his chances and whether he looks calm and composed, and all of that is back. So I was straight in, and I don't think it's a difficult decision anymore just because of the way he's playing, Manchester United are playing. I suppose the only reservation is that fitness of Martial and whether that will make a difference. But I still think Rashford will play, even if it's moving out to the left.
How do you like that now, Jules and Sam? You both want him in, don't you? I've ridden the price roller coaster. I had him when he went down to 6.3, and I've been waiting for this sweet, sweet moment where I've not actually lost any money on him.
The karma would be so strong here. The karma would be so strong. You two, watch him now blank for the next four games.
The thing is, if you remember, Kelly, he's my differential of the season, right? So I sort of feel quite pleased about this because he's making me look like I know what I'm talking about at this moment. Because if you remember back to pre-season, I was waxing lyrical about Marcus Rashford. I thought it was going to be his best ever season. And then he started the season and I was like, oh no, why have I gone big on Marcus Rashford? But now we're starting to see the player that I thought we were going to see at the beginning of the season. I think the Ten Hag era is beginning. They look so much better. And he is really good, Rashford, against those supposed bigger clubs, the ones that will give him a bit more space because they play their football. So we've seen great returns against Liverpool and against Arsenal. Don't be surprised if we see them against the bigger clubs as well. It's against the slightly more defensive-minded teams that will try and frustrate Manchester United, where I think we might not see the level of points returns that we have from Rashford so far. But if he's going to return 18 points in one game week, then he's not a player you can sell, Kelly.
I could not believe.
He's just shaking his head.
I swear I could not. I was like, oh, my words. And then you were texting, oh, Marcus. And I was like, oh, my God.
I think I might have said at one point, my boy Rashi.
Yeah.
I completely
I mean, that love affair that you described, you know, oh, my word. I don't even want to think about it. Well done to you and to Marcus.
I was going to say more well done to Marcus.
Yeah, yeah, because you did nothing about trying to sell him, which is so bad. I mean, next time I see him, I'll tell him for sure.
Oh, another one of Jules's friends. Looking at some of the other budget enablers who returned well for us, there was some huge points value within these budget enablers kind of category. You're less than 7.5 million. Of course, at Brighton, we've seen value and we've spoken about it a lot, Dean, on the pod, that you can find value. We talked a lot about Pascal Gross last week. Alas, he was the player that I tried to bring in for Marcus Rashford. He got an assist again, but McAllister with 14 points could have been even more. Leandro Trossard as well with 12 points. However, with Brighton, of course, there's a few rumours around Graham Potter's future and the fact that the derby against Crystal Palace has now been postponed. Does that put you off going in and buying these Brighton players, or do you still think they're great value?
I still think they're great value because I think the club as a whole has just got this great way of playing and the recruitment's always so good. So I would always feel as if Brighton are going to be worth looking at. McAllister, obviously, on set plays at 5.6 million, has to catch your eye. But actually, if you watch the rest of their play, he's not as involved as you maybe think he is. I think Trossard, for me, is the one. I think, you know, his form at the end of last season and now the form that he's taken into this season, I think is hard to ignore. I know Gross at the moment is having that, for me, a purple patch. But I haven't gotten a Brighton attacker because I always just feel as if, is that really going to last?
Yeah.
You know, is it that, you know, when I've watched them so often at home over the last two or three seasons, and yes, they'll have these great results, but ultimately, consistently over the season, they can go missing for long periods. So I've stayed away. I think I took some of Sam's advice and looked at Webster, who had I think, the most attacking touches from set plays. And that hasn't worked yet. But again, I feel as if when a team that plays a back three is always worth looking at their defence because they're naturally set up to be harder to beat than I would say a team that plays a back four. So, of course, you have to consider it. But at the moment, I'm still going to stay away from Brighton attackers.
I think the thing for me with Brighton is that if you are invested in them, you now have a bit of an issue, don't you? Because obviously they have a nice fixture on paper away at Bournemouth, where Brighton are usually solid, then a blank and then a game against Liverpool. So if you are a Sanchez owner, that's maybe slightly more of a problem because for a lot of people, you might have Ward as your spare goalkeeper. You might not necessarily want to play him with the way that Leicester are. So quick shout out to Nick Pope, who was absolutely unbelievable in game week six. He's going to cost you a little bit more, obviously, than Sanchez, but the fixtures are nice for Newcastle. And if he's going to regularly return 12-point hauls because he's making save after save after save, he's kind of doing all the things that we talked about before with Kieran Trippier to make him so much more attractive because he's securing that Newcastle back line. So the Newcastle defence is definitely something that I'm now looking at on the back of game week six, because I think if you are thinking about wildcarding around international break, then you could afford maybe to lose your Brighton players at this moment, knowing that they've not got a fixture currently in game week eight, and then get them back in after after that blank.
So all of this is probably playing into the fact that we aren't quite sure what to do with some of our bigger players. How is this affecting our team strategy, do you think, Sam? Is it making it more tempting to sell the likes of the underperforming Liverpool players?
100%. I mean, every time I look at my team, as an FPL manager, my first thought when I open the app to think about transfers is, who is my weakest link at the moment? Because it's that player that should be removed as part of my transfer. And genuinely, when I look at my team right now, the Liverpool players are the weakest players in my team. They are the ones that cost me the most money, but they're returning the least amount of points. So when you take a look at, like, for example, Trent, he's 12th for points amongst defenders right now, 12th. Salah, he's got exactly the same minutes as he did this time last season. Last time around, he'd got 5 goals and 3 assists already. This time, just the 2 goals, or it's still got 3 assists. His XG is halved. His XA, interestingly, going back to what Dean was saying earlier, has gone up. So he's playing in a slightly different position on the pitch. It's making him less attractive for me in FPL. And the players that are above him in the points ranking so far are the likes of the cheap budget enablers that we've just been talking about. So for me, this is, I'm at a point where I'm thinking, do I really need to spend 13 million on Salah, 7.5 million on Trent, and just over 8 million on Luis Diaz? That is a lot of my budget tied up in Liverpool, who just aren't performing.
Dean, what do you think about doing with your Liverpool players? You've got the treble up, no Mo Salah, as we said, but you have got Harvey Elliott, Luis Diaz, and Trent Alexander-Arnold as well. Are you holding those?
I will be for game week 7. I think any sort of home fixture at Anfield, I think, can't necessarily be ignored. I think the introduction of Thiago against Napoli, I think, is important. I think when he plays, they are a totally different side. And I'd just like to wait and see whether his introduction does make a genuine difference to how they look, how they attack, how they keep the ball. I think he's such an important player. But, I mean, I don't know what you think, but it feels to me the 5 substitutions for me is the most difficult thing to get my head around. As we saw with Trent coming off on 58 minutes.
Oh, I couldn't believe that.
Which was tragic. but that's what the 5 substitutions is going to do. And it's making me start to think, do I have the bulk of my team with players, even if they're maybe not the premium player, that I know are going to play pretty much 90 minutes, not going to get rested, not going to get rotated? Because this season is going to be, there's going to be so much of that where, you know, you think you've got a prized asset, but then they get taken off or they don't start games. And there's nothing more frustrating than that.
Yeah. And also with the Champions League coming in now as well, there's going to be even more of that, you think, because of the amount of fixtures there are. Jules, what about you then? Where are you sitting on this Liverpool debate? Are you, like Dean, going to hold a little bit longer?
I'm not too sure. I really think I'm going to sell both Trent and Mo Salah. I look at the next 5 games. So they play Wolves, obviously, at home. We're big fans of Wolves on this show, of course. But then it's also Chelsea and Brighton and Arsenal and City. And I'm thinking, like, okay, seeing how bad things have been, and we saw against Napoli what the disaster it was, and those teams are not all going to play like Napoli. But I think there's a lot of worrying signs about this Liverpool team, even with Thiago coming back, even if at some point all the injured players will come back. I think it's very difficult to see them performing really well straight away. I mean, Klopp said on Wednesday night, we need to reinvent ourselves. Well, that's not going to be easy, and that's not going to be quick either. So in terms of the game, I don't know where that leaves us, because if they have to reinvent themselves, and Klopp was pretty adamant that everything was missing from the team right now, I just think it's, again, I agree with Sam, it's a lot of money for players. You're not really sure how they're going to perform individually, collectively as well. This is such a mess so far that I think it's a lot of money to have on those players with potentially very, very little reward. So I'm really tempted to finally let go. I know I said not long ago that you had to keep trained all season long, but now I saw him against Napoli, and again, the defending side of his game and the lack of effort at times in trying to recover the ball, trying to defend a bit harder, was just baffling, really. So I'm quite worried about Liverpool.
The thing is, you have to forget your FPL historic biases at this moment with Liverpool, because of course, over the last few seasons, investing heavily in Liverpool has been absolutely the way to go, whether it's been the double up defensively, whether it's been an attacking double up, or whether it's been the treble up. You've wanted to invest heavily in the red side of Merseyside. But right now, they aren't performing like that team, but they're still priced at that team. So you have to kind of forget the stuff that you looked at before and look at the Liverpool that we're seeing right now. And the Liverpool team that we are seeing right now isn't keeping clean sheets regularly, or if they do, they're being withdrawn on 58 minutes or coming on 60 minutes, so they're not getting the clean sheet points. And they're not getting the level of attacking returns, with the exception of that game against Bournemouth. But if you take that out of the underlying stats, that Bournemouth trip, the numbers for the rest of them look just as bad as they do for Salah. So we have to kind of forget everything that we thought we knew about Liverpool and take Liverpool as we know them right now. And that is a team that is in transition. They are learning a new style of football. They are dealing with a lot of injuries. So maybe now is not the right time to be invested in Liverpool, and maybe now is the right time to sell them. That doesn't mean you're selling them forever. It means you bring them back when this difficult run that they're in ends. And it will end because Liverpool have got talented players, so they will improve and then we'll want to invest again. But you have to work out with FPL, and it's part of the skill of being a manager, is when is the moment that I should sell and use that budget elsewhere?
Is it now, Sam, for you?
I think it might be, you know, Kelly. I think the one caveat that I have on selling Salah right now is that the other premium assets that I would want to go to, because weirdly for me, selling Salah and going down to maybe Rashford and halving the money that I'm spending just feels a bit wrong. Because what am I doing with that 6 million? Where's it? What's it doing? It's just sitting in the bank. So I would want to look for a slightly cheaper premium. So this week, obviously you can't invest in Son right now. He's out of the equation because his form is off it. KDB is the one that I kind of keep looking at, but I've got three Man City already, and Man City have got a difficult fixture against Spurs this weekend, and that game's always a little bit difficult to read. Do I really want to invest in Haaland and KDB ahead of that? Like, that's why Salah might end up getting this week for me, because then going into game week 8, I've probably got an easy route to swap. But I think with the likes of Trent and Diaz, I could 100% see myself selling both of those this week.
Looking at the transfers out as it stands, Rodrigo's the most transferred out. Then it's Mo Salah. Then it's Perisic. Then it's Alexander-Arnold. So Liverpool players are in two of the top four most transferred out players for the game week. That's not something that we see very often. And the most popular replacements, if we are to go through who people are bringing in for Salah, the most popular replacements are Marcus Rashford, Luis Diaz and Raheem Sterling. Dean, what do you make of those three replacements for Salah?
I've gone for Rashford, so I believe a lot of the players that he is going to continue is good form. Raheem Sterling's an interesting one because he's played well. He's got a couple of returns without necessarily making me think, oh, I have to go and buy Raheem. Where is he exactly playing? You know, with Aubameyang coming in, is he now going to be more in advanced role? Is he going to play wide? For me, Rashford is the standout candidate, and like Sam says, that gives you a hell of a lot of budget to be able to do lots of other things. Sam's right, it's difficult, especially I was looking at that 8 million bracket to start with at the start of the season, and that is so difficult. Foden, for me, is probably the one, if you haven't got three Manchester City Foden, his link-up with Haaland already, I think, is there to see. And there could have been more. There's chances where he should have squared it for Haaland, and that'll only get better. I think for me, I would be looking more at a Foden than I would a Sterling.
What do you think of Foden, Jules? You'll have watched Man City in the Champions League this week. My hesitancy when it comes to City players is always the rotation danger. But do you think he's worth the risk?
I don't think he's worth the risk.
Okay.
Because he has been rotated already this season. We've seen him being benched a couple of times, I think. We saw De Bruyne, really. The only one is Haaland that hasn't been benched yet. And I think had they not played Spurs this weekend, I can guarantee that he would have maybe been benched this weekend if it'd been an easier game in the Champions League. And considering there's another big game next week in the Champions League at home against Dortmund. So with Foden, I'm just too scared that he's going to be one game starting, one game on the bench, kind of that kind of pattern. It might not happen like that every single week, but with the Champions League and with the league, and it's the same for Mahrez, it's the same for Grealish. I think if it happens to De Bruyne, it will really happen to everybody else apart from Haaland, maybe. So I think it's tricky with City forwards apart from, again, Erling Haaland.
I don't think it's just the City forwards though, Jules, is it? The 8 million bracket, which we were all talking about how important it might be, they're just not performing. Luis Diaz, Jarrod Bowen, who's now dropped back in price, right back into that 8 million bracket. Kulusevski, who's been benched for the last couple, Foden, Mount, they're just not performing. Bukayo Saka's bucking the trend. He's returned in the last three.
Yeah, he's coming good.
He is, yeah, he's starting to come good. But at a time where we're probably trebled up on Arsenal anyway, with Jesus, with Martinelli, with Odegaard, with Saliba, most people are already heavily invested in Arsenal. So getting Saka's difficult. Maybe, and this is a little bit rogue, so bear with me, but maybe James Maddison is one that we should just look at, because whilst Leicester have been truly awful in the way that they've started the season, the fixtures are about to get really nice for Leicester. And for me, if Leicester are going to turn things around, if they're going to start performing better, James Maddison's going to be the one that's kind of at the heart of that. So he's taken a price drop. He's 7.9 now. So he's not the full 8 million anymore. But he might be the one that if I was wildcarding right now and I was selling Salah and I had a little bit of extra budget to kind of just play around with, I might just take a chance on him given the fixtures that they have coming up over the next few weeks.
Dean, what do you make of that Maddison shout?
I think it's an excellent shout. I think the fixtures are something that I've tried to look at more this season. I never used to, but I think it is important you look at the next 3 to 5 fixtures if you're going to bring anybody in. And there's so many opportunities with Maddison for returns because he's on set plays, he's on corners, free kicks. He plays a lovely free role in the way that he plays. Iheanacho and Daka are now looking like they might get minutes if Vardy's off form. So I don't think it's a bad shout, to be honest. Or is it going to get worse before it actually gets better for Leicester? That's what you've got to try and consider when you're looking at any Leicester assets at the moment.
If we are going to talk about teams that we aren't too sure about or teams in transition, we have to have a word on Chelsea. And Jules, Thomas Tuchel is someone that you actually genuinely know on this occasion, not one of those fanciful made-up friends. What do you expect to happen to Chelsea now? Obviously, they're the early kickoff against Fulham on Saturday.
It'd be very interesting to see who is in charge, if there's a new manager by then, or if there's an interim coach, which there is right now, one of Tuchel's former staff member. It's a difficult situation because they're not playing well, they're not defending well, especially, which is a big worry. Again, we mentioned that before. If you look at Tuchel's first 50 games in charge, I think they only conceded 24 goals or 23 goals. And the last 50, because it was his 100 against Dinamo Zagreb, they conceded 50 or 51, so a goal per game, which is crazy when you think how good they used to defend, really. And it's not just because Rudiger and Christensen have left, or because Mendy was injured and didn't play against Dinamo Zagreb, for example. They're making mistakes everywhere. In midfield, they're not as strong as they used to be because of injuries mostly, but also because I think the rhythm is wrong. And I think this is a team that is not sure how it has to play or how it's playing and what the idea is. So the new manager will have to figure this out and bring a new identity to this team, but I think it will take a long time. So maybe for now you go back to basic and said, you know what, let's not concede and let's try to do what's quite simple with the ball and let's try to not overcomplicate things. But it's not going to be easy against Fulham in a derby where Fulham will be at home and we really go for it because now they're there for the taking, Chelsea. So if you're Mitrovic, if you're Andreas, if you're Marco Silva, you go like, you know what, let's put the pressure, let's be aggressive, don't give them anything because they're doubting and that's where they are. And it will be a few really tough days for the Chelsea boys. And I think for Fulham, if you're in that position, you're thinking, you know what, I really fancy this on Saturday early.
At the end of game week 6, I was absolutely 100% selling Reece James. I just had enough of owning him because when you invest that much in a defender, you expect at least a clean sheet or an attacking return in every game. And we're just not getting that from them. The frustration that it was Chilwell that returned the goal and the assist in having come off the bench as a Reece James owner was absolutely real. And I was just like, do you know what? There are better defenders. And I really want Trippier back in my team after the way that Newcastle have been playing. So he was absolutely an out for me this week. But new managers, regardless of whether there's one in place against Fulham or not, there is always a new manager bounce because there is that new energy that comes to the club, that slightly different way of training. That slight increase in the way that players play for a new manager, wanting to show them kind of what they can do. We always see it at every club. So now Reece James has become a bit of a hold for me because I want to see how he settles under the new coach, whoever that may be. But I do think that Mitrovic can score against Chelsea this weekend. If I was a Mitrovic owner, I'd 100% be playing him this weekend because that defence is gettable right now. So I'm holding Reece James this week based upon the hope that there's some attacking threat there. And now with Fofana next to him, we should see Reece James, like we did at the weekend, playing in his preferred wing-back position. So if he's there, that makes him a more attractive FPL option. And as the new manager eventually arrives and settles, that should increase Reece James. So for me, he now gets until my wild card as a stay of execution before I make a decision about what to do with him then.
I've just remembered that the transfer, I can't believe I forgot this, the transfer part of the deal of getting Marcus Rashford out was because I also wanted to get Reece James in. I had the real fear of not having him last week. So when Chilwell got those returns and Reece James didn't, I'm not going to lie, I was over the moon. Dean, you smiled then when Sam was talking about Fulham versus Chelsea. And she was saying, if you've got Mitrovic, I think you'll score against this Chelsea defence. But I also noticed that you have Cucurella. Are you going to be playing both of them?
Because I had two free transfers and I used one on Rashford pretty quick. And then the other one is Cucurella because Chilwell came on and looked so good. And now that Tuchel's gone, how's that going to affect who plays where and who plays out of the two of them? So Cucurella is one that I might look to move on. Again, like Sam, I want to get Trippier back in the side. I had him before and I need to get him back in, I think, because he's forming for Newcastle and they look strong defensively. So that could be the other switch that I make. But I think Reece James is, if you've got him, you've got a hole, because whatever new coach comes in, surely they're going to play him at right wing back because he's so dynamic, he's so direct, he's got unbelievable quality. That is one of the things that I think Tuchel has let himself down with, is Reece James and the quality that he possesses. So absolutely, I wish I still had Reece James because I had him early on, and I think he will come be probably brilliant in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks.
For me, I'm thinking of doing Kyle Walker out, and I've got to decide whether I go back up to Reece James or if I go for a Kieran Trippier. So I've got plenty of food for thought after this. And clearly,
anything you want to do, just don't do, because it brings you a lot of points.
I'll never make a transfer again. That's the problem.
Just pretend that, oh, it didn't work out. Oh, I ran out of time. Oh, you know, I went to do the shopping or whatever. And then it's going to work great for you because that's what
Can I also point out, this was genuine. There is a screen grab. I tweeted it. There is a screen grab that shows where it said the game is updating. I did try and do it. This is not some big elaborate story to make for everyone to be able to laugh at me. It genuinely did happen. Anyway, enough about this transfer that I never made that paid off. clearly, all of these decisions that we've been talking about are playing on managers' minds, because actually, at the time of recording, which is Thursday morning, over 230,000 managers have hit the wildcard button ahead of game week 7. I said before, we've got those unlimited transfers during the World Cup, which maybe changes our wildcard strategy and makes us want to use it a bit earlier. Sam, for a few weeks now, you've been saying you've been thinking about pressing the button. Are you any closer? Do you understand why this many managers are doing it this week?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if I was heavily invested in Brighton, given the news of the postponement in game week 8, this week probably feels like quite a good week to wildcard and make some changes, particularly with all the stuff that we've been talking about with Liverpool and their lack of performances. I don't think this is the right week for me on the basis that if I take out my Liverpool players, like I mentioned, I probably want to target in on changing the way that my Man City funds are allocated and moving away from the double up there, moving towards the double up top with KDB and Haaland, but they play Spurs. I'd also want to bring in Harry Kane because of course it's me and of course I want to bring in Harry Kane. So do I really want, I'd end up with 5 players in that game on Saturday evening between Manchester City and Spurs. And I don't really want 5 premium players because you're going to have to spend a lot of budget on these going into that game. That's probably going to make or break my game week. So for me, this is not the right week on the basis of that fixture alone. But I can absolutely understand why it is for a lot of managers. I think going into game week 8 could also be a good time if you're heavily invested in Palace and Brighton. But now we've got so close to that international break, having 2 weeks to mull over a wild card between game week 8 and game week 9, that is going to be the moment where I think we'll see the majority of wild card buttons hit.
Dean, have you got a plan in mind or a game week in mind where you're going to activate yours?
All right, I'll admit it. I've used it.
You kept this
I
one
did.
Quiet.
I know.
Head in hands for people listening at home.
Yeah, you kept that quiet.
I have been thinking about it because I haven't had a great start to the season. And the whole Salah Haaland thing, getting to Haaland without burning points, which again has been my mantra so far this season. But I did the cardinal sin, which is I made the wild card while I was still a bit angry about Mo Salah and the 9-0.
Was it an emotional wild card?
Of course it was, because I did it that evening. Now, I had planned to use it in the coming weeks and trying to be patient, but it's like the chocolates in my drawer. Eventually, I'm going to attack it when I know I shouldn't. And I let my emotions get the better of me, which I'm sure plenty of FPL managers are the same. And I went for it. And it was basically the Salah Haaland was the big call for me. I wanted to just swap those two around, but without burning points. And I felt like it was the right thing to do. And I still do feel like I did the right thing. And I'm trying to be really, really patient with the decisions that I've made. So, Sam, am I right to be patient? Because I had planned it. It's not like I just... But I made that decision very quickly after the Liverpool game. But I guess for anyone using the wild card, how should you feel the weeks after if it doesn't maybe... If it doesn't maybe quite go the way that you think it should.
But the thing is, Dean, with your team that Kelly read out earlier, that is exactly the team that most people now are trying to wildcard towards. They are looking to sell the Liverpool assets in favour of owning the front three that you have with changes to the way the back is. And so now what you're talking about is peripheral changes, bringing in Kieran Trippier to replace, you know, one of your underperforming defenders. It's little changes now to a team that's already where most people are trying to get to. So I actually think that you're in a good place right now. And often the wild card doesn't work the first week, even the second week afterwards, because when you hit a wild card button, you're not hitting it with the next set of fixtures in mind. You're hitting it with a run of fixtures between the moment you play it and game week 16 in mind, because then we've got the unlimited transfer window coming in. So if you're going to cover that length of time, you're not really looking what might happen next week, what might happen the week after. You've got to take it with the long-term view. So I think you've done the right thing with your wildcard team. Over the next few weeks, they're going to pick up points. And that's going to be the team that when I'm looking to hit my wildcard, probably ahead of game week 9, I suspect that the majority of players that you have will be the exact players that I'll be targeting.
I can't tell you. I can now relax for the next 4 weeks. Honestly, because that it's such a big decision, I think, to wild card and change your players that you can't help but feel anxious.
Also, though, this season, I feel like we should look at it slightly differently, because when you wild card, if you'd wild carded this early, Dean, you could then not use your second wild card until next March. You know that you're not quite as committed to those players because as of the middle of November, you're going to be able to change it all again. You shouldn't feel quite as reliant on those players over a long period of time. Admittedly, I know November's still quite a few weeks away. But yeah, that's the way I kind of look at it. That said, I haven't yet decided when I'm going to wildcard. What about you, Jules?
I've said it from the beginning. I think I like the idea to wait for the international break do it then. Yeah. Also because, I mean, it's going to take me a whole week to decide who to bring in, who not to bring in, all of that. I can't do this too quickly. So at least with the international break, you've got 10 days, you've got plenty of time. You can work it out. You can get a bit lucky like you, Kelly, and maybe not bring someone in that is going to be rubbish or keeping someone that is going to be
jealousy
good.
Jealousy doesn't suit you, Jules.
So I'm going to wait. I think I'm going to wait.
Before we move on, Sam, because we are running out of time, if you were wildcarding this week, are there certain teams or certain players that you would recommend that managers target?
Yeah, I think you have to ignore the fixture. And if you're going to wildcard this week, you have to target City and Spurs. I think they are the ones that you're going to want to be invested in up top. There obviously are question marks around the Champions League and whether there's rotation there. But I do think that they are the teams that are playing best in the league right now. And then you look at other teams that are also, you know, playing well. So Manchester United on the up right now, you can definitely invest in those players there. I'd have a look at Chelsea as well for some new manager bounce and invest in those guys. And then look at some of your cheaper options. Keep the likes of Nico Williams and Patterson as your bench options because they look nice. And then maybe have a look at teams like Brentford, like Fulham for your slightly more attacking, cheaper budget options.
Okay, so a few options there then. Let's conclude by talking about your transfers. Jules, you're going to go for Trent and Mo out. Who are you thinking of coming in?
Yeah, I think I'll go Trippier and KDB.
Oh, nice moves. I like both of those. What about you, Sam?
Trippier is going to be definitely a target for me. Probably Trent and Diaz out, I think. Probably. I know. I'll probably give Salah one more week and then move him out next week. But I think for me, it's going to be Trent to Trippier and then Luis Diaz probably down to Marcus Rashford.
Jules, just quickly, as someone that watched Liverpool so closely in midweek, are you concerned that Trent could be benched at all?
I think he should be benched. I think if you're Klopp. I mean, the problem is...
Who's he going to play instead?
Exactly. Milner is dreadful and so is Joe Gomez, who's probably
Don't
even worse
back.
Than... I mean, Dean could do a better job than all of them. So even now, even as a former striker... I don't know. I think it's complicated. But when you saw him against Napoli, and but this is on the back of what we've seen so far already this season. Like, Trent is not bothered about defending. The problem is, Trent, you're a defender. So I've got issues with defenders who don't want to defend and who are not bothered about defending either. So I don't know what Klopp will do. And maybe you kind of need to say to him, listen, you have to go and show me now and so extra motivate him to show you and to do better. Because Wednesday night was one of the worst performances I've seen from Trent since he broke onto the scene, really.
Dean, you've joined me aboard the Rashford Fun Bus. I pre-warn you, it's an emotional roller coaster. It goes up and down week in, week out. What other transfers have you done? Or is that the one?
That's the one, and I've held off to wait and do my usual, which is to listen to the pods, listen to stats, look all of those things, which I like to do, especially on a Friday evening. And the likelihood is Cucurella to Trippier, despite Newcastle going to West Ham, and I think they might concede there. I think in the long run, Trippier with the five subs, with the European football, I think is just a must. But also, my finger is over the trigger when it comes to Son. The minute he does anything, I will look to probably try and get him in, because once he scores, because he's getting in great positions, it's just one of those things as a forward. It's just not happening. It's hitting a defender. It's not there, but he's getting in all the right positions. The minute something happens, an assist, a goal, I will probably try and bring him in, because I think he'll then go on a really strong run.
My favourite thing when someone comes on this podcast and mentions bringing in a Spurs player that Sam doesn't have is seeing her face, because she has this face of real envy, because she wants those players to do well, but she knows she's not going to benefit if they do, because obviously she will as a Spurs fan, but she doesn't have them in her team. Quickly, Sam, what do you make of that shout?
The thing is, it's confidence, isn't it, with Son? He is absolutely doing the right things. He's just got no confidence right now. As soon as one of them hits the back of the net, I think Dean is right, that will lift him and he'll go back to being the Son that we know and love, or I know and love as Spurs fans, but we know and love as FPL managers as well. So I agree. I think once he does something, it's just a wait and see, isn't it? But right now, it's Kane if you want to invest in the frontline at Spurs.
And finally, captaincy. Jules, I don't need to come to you because you're going to go Erling Haaland, correct?
Yes.
Sam?
Oh, it pains me to say this, Kelly, but I think I'm going Haaland too. I am tempted by Jesus because he's been massively sold this week and they face Everton, who are going to be without Pickford. So I am tempted to go with Jesus, but I'll probably stick with Haaland.
Even though they're against Spurs. That's a triple fixture as well. Dean, what are you thinking?
I can't wait for his hat-trick against Spurs.
Stop it, Jules.
There's nobody in better form in world football at the moment than Haaland. I don't care who it is he's playing against. He just looks like he's going to return goals and points. And I brought him in for Salah. I'll captain Haaland probably, like Jules, to the end of the season, because he just doesn't look like he's ever not going to get points. I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, if you're looking for alien life force, then you go and go to Manchester and test Erling Haaland. He's not human. He, I'm a striker, but I cannot comprehend what he is doing at the moment. What he's doing is special, and I'm going to captain my way through watching him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be heavily captained again this week and probably most weeks. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Dean, I hope you feel better about your early wild card now and the fact that these guys have actually got envy about your team.
I am.
the relaxation that I'm going to have not over the next couple of weeks. No, thank you.
Relaxation and FPL, they don't come hand in hand. Well, you're not in FPL for relaxation. You're here for the thrills, the highs, the rollercoaster. Jules and Sam, as always, thank you very much. The best of luck this game week, especially now we're not playing each other, Jules. You can have a better week this week if you like.
Yeah, I'll let you win anyway.
The Off The Bench podcast will, as always, be back on Tuesday because there is Monday night football. So do check that out. And we'll be back, as always, with you on Thursday afternoon. A reminder of your deadline is the 10th of September, that's Saturday at 11 a.m. A reminder, don't leave it until the last minute like I did, because if you leave it till 10:59, your transfers might not go through. And trust me, normally, that is not a good thing. The very best of luck. Make sure you check out fantasy.premierleague.com for more hints and tips as well. And we'll see you next week.